Welcome back to another edition of the Perb Light Podcast. This is the seventh episode of Perb Take, where we do a weekly review of all the biggest news in sports. This is Jamie White, joined with Adam Goldsboro, Tyler Zeman, and Mitch Davis. And today we're going to be talking about Champions League over in Europe, post-All-Star weekend in the NBA, the MVP race and such, the retirement of George St. Pierre, and of course the NHL trade deadline. All right, so first we're going to head over to Zeman, who's going to give us some updates on the Champions League.
So last week, the second half of the round of 16 teams faced off, and on Tuesday, we had scoreless games across the board. First, Barcelona went to Lyon to face Olympic Lyon, and the game ended 0-0. It was a surprising result, honestly. Barcelona, being a Spanish team and a very dominant team throughout Europe, Lyon being a smaller French team with not as much talent, you expected Barcelona to come in and at least do something, but they failed to do that. And then moving on to the second game, Liverpool versus Bayern. Bayern headed into England to face Liverpool. And honestly, Liverpool being home, you expected them to win. They've been in very hot form, and they have a chance to win the Premier League this year, with Bayern, on the other hand, very off color, you could say, as in their German table right now, they are far behind Borussia Dortmund for the German title, and they just haven't been themselves this year. And that game ended 0-0 in what was another kind of boring game. It was very evenly matched for what we all expected, but it was, again, just boring from the scoreline. And on the Wednesday, we have Atletico Madrid and Juventus. A big game for Juventus, as they specifically brought in Cristiano Ronaldo to win a Champions League title, as they haven't had too much success. And, you know, this year, that was their whole goal with bringing in Ronaldo. They fell short, as Madrid beat them 2-0, and it was very surprising. Juventus got very lucky throughout the game. Calls went their way, and it was almost like the refs were trying to hand them the win, but Madrid fought through the adversity in what was a very fun match to watch. And obviously one team went home happy, which was Atletico Madrid. Moving on to the second game with Man City and Schalke 04. This one was another fun game to watch. These games really made up for Tuesday's kind of disappointments. And Man City won 3-2. It was very, very surprising calls. Schalke again got a lot of the calls that went their way. Both their goals came from penalty kicks that were given, and arguably very questionable calls made by the refs in this game as well. And it was just the referees very much kind of kept Schalke in this game. Man City had a red card. They got this when they were down 2-1. And, of course, Man City being Man City, there are just, you never know what to expect. And they fought back two goals to come out on top 3-2.
All right, next we're going to head over to Adam, who has some updates for the NBA.
All right, so after the All-Star weekend, a lot of teams are just now starting to play their games again. A couple of teams are starting to get back in their groove. Clearly, that really hasn't happened for the Lakers.
No.
The Lakers.
Even though LeBron literally said, this is the fastest I've ever started playing good after an All-Star
playoff
weekend.
Playoff mode activated.
His playoff mode activated really isn't that much of a thing, apparently.
No.
As the Lakers took on the Pelicans, obviously, everybody knows the drama with them, and the Pelicans decided to sit Anthony Davis for rest, they called it, but we all know it's really not rest. And even then, the Lakers could not beat Anthony Davis-less Pelicans.
Ooh.
And they lost by 13 points, which is quite surprising. The Pelicans really have nobody else on offense but Drew Holiday. And Drew Holiday is not even that good on offense. It's kind of just embarrassing to see for the Lakers, because I think even LeBron said after the game that they're just afraid. They're afraid to be different, and I don't know. I think part of the blame goes on LeBron. I think LeBron just kind of messed up the entire team chemistry by trading, or at least making it well aware to everybody that all of their players are available to be traded. Especially all the young guys, you know, they're thinking, oh, we're about to get traded from L.A., literally the best NBA city in the country, pretty much.
Even if you're playing for the Clippers.
Yeah, it's L.A. as an NBA player. I'm sure that has its benefits, but I think that just hurt their self-esteem. And then going into this game, I don't really think much happened. It's just the Lakers put up a pitiful performance. LeBron is not the anchor he's been on defense for the last however many years of his career. But, you know, I got to give props to the Pelicans, and at least they won the game. But the Lakers, they need to start kicking it into gear or else they're not going to make the playoffs. And that would be kind of insane for the Lakers to not make the playoffs with LeBron. That would be,
right.
I think, one of the only times in LeBron's career he's never made the playoffs.
And this team's, it's not a lot better, like, I don't know if they're competing for championships yet, but this is definitely better than the Cleveland team he played with last year.
Yeah, and it adds a question going into, like, the offseason after the playoffs. How good is a team with LeBron on it if you don't give him the right players, like, surround him with the right players? Like, in Cleveland, at least he was around guys that, you know, adjusted to him and, you know, like, really bought into what he was trying to do. And you question, like, if LeBron lands on a team that doesn't really have that kind of chemistry that LeBron got with the Cavs, how good are you actually going to be? Like, how successful are they actually going to be?
I think the biggest thing about this Los Angeles team from the Cleveland team, that Cleveland team was all veterans. You know, a large majority. And LeBron, I'm still confused a little bit why he went to Los Angeles, because he's expressed his distaste for playing with young players. So maybe that's it. Maybe they're just not clicking, you know. Maybe they don't know what a CD is and LeBron does. I don't know. It'll be, like you said, it'll be interesting going into the offseason, though, where, as he stated, everyone could be traded. So.
Yeah, but in the offseason, like, people have to really start looking at it. If they don't make the playoffs, or even if they make it as an 8 seed and get matched up against the Warriors, they're not going to win. It's going to be probably a 4-0 sweep. People have to really start looking. Did Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka really do a good job? Yeah, they got LeBron, but did they get anything else?
Right. Well, moving on from Los Angeles, tell us about the Lights in Oklahoma City Thunder.
All right. So a big debate this season has been who's really the MVP. Some people think it's Giannis. Some people think it's James Harden. Some people think it's Paul George. But frankly, it should definitely be Paul George after this type of performance. The man is having a career year. And he just recently had a game winner against the Jazz. It was a really nice floater over the top after taking two people off the dribble. It's something that Paul George really was kind of questioned for in the early part of his career. People thought he wasn't necessarily that clutch. And he's been, and you expect on a team with Russell Westbrook that he would be taking the last shot, but no. Russell Westbrook has kind of deferred to Paul George, which is something that Kevin Durant really never could do, and that's maybe why they had problems and why they split. But Paul George seems to be averaging an insane amount of points. He's putting up performance after performance, highlight play after highlight play, and it just seems like nobody can stop him. And I would argue that he is a better player than James Harden at this current point.
Well, they're winning.
Yeah, they're winning.
Which is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Last year with Carmelo Anthony and Paul George and Russell Westbrook, they were a very shocking team last year, not being as successful as everybody thought. And this year, like, they definitely picked up steam. It's definitely been a lot more stories surrounding the team, and I think it's helped them out, get them back into their groove.
Right. And, like, of course, like, the Rockets have struggled. You know, James Harden has been doing his thing. Chris Paul has been in and out, as has Clint Capella. Everyone's talking about this streak of games with James Harden heading towards another scoring title, but it doesn't really matter in the end if you're not winning.
Yeah.
Which is what sets him and Paul George apart at this point. And Giannis, who has the number one seed with the Bucks right now. So
yeah, but I think Giannis still has a bit more to go, and so do the Bucks. They're still a really young team, so
yeah.
I don't know if it's necessarily their year this year.
If you look at the teams that Giannis and the Bucks have to play in the East, it's not really as big as the caliber teams in the West, you know. The Oklahoma City Thunder have to face the Warriors, the Lakers, like, so do the Bucks. But night in and night out, in the Eastern Conference, you get, like, the Pistons, you know, you get all those teams.
You get the Bulls, the Pistons, I don't even know, the Cavs, any team that basically is going to be in the lottery, the Knicks, you know. It's kind of, but you know, Paul George, he's been really doing his thing this year, and I think it's just been recently that people have been really acknowledging what he's been doing. Because they are finally winning, which is nice to see. Because the NBA is better whenever the Thunder are winning. I think everybody can agree with that. So.
Well, yeah, they're that small market team. They're not a Los Angeles. They're not a Chicago or a New York. So it's cool. It's like a win for the little guy.
Yeah.
Unless you live in Seattle.
Yeah, then it's just bad memories.
And here to knock out the UFC storylines for the week is Jamin White.
Great pun, Zeman. All right, so UFC fans, of course, are going to be looking forward to the next title fight, UFC 235, with Jon Jones and Tyron Woodley headlining the event. But recently, last Thursday in Montreal, one of the greatest MMA fighters of all time, George St. Pierre, has finally called it quits at the age of 37. The UFC community has come out, and MMA. Most have talked about what a great fighter he is, how he conducted himself as a real stand-up and humble guy. The Diaz brothers did not feel the same way, but that's the Diaz brothers, and he beat them anyway. So at this point, the UFC is still a very young league. They're just celebrating 25 years. So a new greatest of all time comes in every day, and we've seen several examples. People talk about the Conor McGregors, the Anderson Silvas, the Jon Jones, the Chuck Liddells, the Rampage Jacksons. But at this point, it's hard to argue against George St. Pierre. He's had 28 professional fights, lost two of them, but came back and avenged those fights. He has the most title fights in UFC history with 13. He has the most takedowns by a welterweight, most significant strikes landed by a welterweight. And he's been in the game since 2002. So this window that is usually very short, we've seen people like most recently Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor who have enormous, extremely fast rises to the top and have sort of been fizzled out. Of course, Ronda Rousey is no longer in the UFC. Conor McGregor has been on a downcline for the last couple of years since the Floyd Mayweather money fight. So it's a very, very tough league to stay on top of. And the important thing to remember is GSP went out a champion. He went out on top on his own terms, which is very cool and unique to see. Not every professional fighter can say that they did that. Chuck Liddell, towards the end of his career, was getting paid more not to fight than he was to fight, as he was just got knocked out like four of his last five fights. So to see a fighter of this caliber and of this class walk away from the game, obviously sad for the fans, but his legacy is cemented and is certainly a future Hall of Famer. All right, lastly, we're going to head over to Mitch, who's going to talk about some of the biggest points from the NHL trade deadline.
Thanks, Jamin. The 2019 NHL trade deadline was a pretty eventful one. Most of the moves that we expected to happen did. We'll talk about the small trades first, such as the Pittsburgh Penguins traded Tanner Pearson, who was newly acquired earlier this season, to Vancouver in exchange for Eric Branson. Keith Kincaid, goalie for New Jersey, got traded to Columbus. Marcus Johansson on the Devils as well got traded to Boston, and other than that was the only real minor trades that happened yesterday. But the big milestone trades, the first one was Matt Duchene and Ryan Dezingle to Columbus from Ottawa. Now they were both traded on different days, but Ottawa definitely got in return that when they wanted. They got a few prospects and a couple good picks. There was a first rounder in there as well. Matt Duchene's already been producing on his new team. Already has a couple points, I believe. And Ryan Dezingle has been that fourth line, third line center that they need. Mark Stone was obviously the biggest free agent, upcoming free agent. He was unable to reach a deal with Ottawa, and so they traded him. And what happened? Another Ottawa-Vegas deal down to the wire before the 3 p.m. deadline last year was Erik Karlsson Ottawa wanted to trade him to Vegas, but they couldn't reach an agreement before the deadline. But, you know, Mark Stone's already happy with his new team. He's planning on signing a contract for 8 years worth $8 million, but he's unable to sign that yet. I believe it is after March 1st that he's able to do that. Wayne Simmonds, another big name that was on the market, got traded to Nashville, making their team even better. It was one of the places I least expected him to go. I figured either Tampa Bay, Toronto, maybe even stay in Philadelphia. But another trade that was really surprising when I first saw it was Mikael Granlund to Nashville and Kevin Fiala to Minnesota. That was a one-for-one trade. I like both these players. I think they're both going to fit in well with their new teams. Minnesota, I don't think, won this trade. I find Mikael Granlund to be the better player, but Kevin Fiala is a good scoring winger, and that, you know, might be the power that Minnesota needs. But the first big blockbuster trade of yesterday, after on the actual day of the trade deadline, was Kevin Hayes to Winnipeg. That was, you know, he's finally going to play some, well, not finally, because New York has made the playoffs and have been performing pretty well in there. But he goes to Winnipeg to play with Patrick Laine, Mark Scheifele, and Blake Wheeler. You know, that their team gets even bigger. I think they have at least 8 guys over 6'5". But, you know, what's really going to come down to the wire for them is whether, as a team, they don't get tired. On NHL Network, while they were talking about this trade, one of the broadcasters actually said, you know, when they played against Eric Lindros, since he was such a big guy, and went into 2 overtimes playing against them, and, you know, they ran out of energy. And the broadcaster's team was able to beat the Flyers. Can't remember his exact name, but... You know, Winnipeg's a really strong team. They've shown they can make a run to this playoffs, but I think the real winners here are the Nashville Predators. They absolutely stole 2 players. I know the Flyers, for Wayne Simmonds, they were asking to return a prospect and a first-round pick, and Nashville completely finessed them. They gave them a third-line winger, Ryan Hartman, and a conditional 4th-round pick that can only become a 3rd. You know, Nashville easily won this trade deadline. They got Mikael Granlund, Wayne Simmonds. Their team is already good, and they've shown they can make a run, especially in 2017 when they played the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Stanley Cup Finals and looked like the better team. But, you know, now it might really show. Vegas has been an instant contender with Mark Stone. Nashville got even better. Winnipeg got even better. And Columbus is really, with the Matt Duchene and Ryan Dzingel trade, they've shown they can really... They just need to get past the first round. You know, they've never won a playoff series, got slaughtered by the Penguins, got slaughtered by the Capitals. All they need is just a good team to come around. You know, maybe they have a good shot at this cup.
And who do you think is the best contender from each conference right now after the trade deadline?
From each conference, from the Eastern Conference, I would easily have to say Tampa Bay Lightning. They're on an absolute tear. Nikita Kucherov is playing incredible hockey. They've already hit 100 points, 60, 70 games in the season, with an opportunity for at least 24 more points, which would be a franchise record. But from the Western Conference, I am really tied between St. Louis and Nashville Predators. Nashville easily has the better team, but St. Louis has been on such a hot streak lately. They're really showing that they have what it takes to win the Cup. Vladimir Tarasenko is playing amazing. Ryan O'Reilly is carrying this team. He's been unbelievable, especially to come from a team like Buffalo, who was the worst team in the league last year. They want this cup, and we'll just have to wait and see.
It'll certainly be interesting as we move forward in the next couple of months for the most exciting brand of hockey, which is playoff hockey by far. Thanks, Mitch.
Yep. Thanks, Damon.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Purple Light Podcast. This has been Purple Take, where we do a weekly review of all the biggest news in sports. This has been Jamin White, joined with Adam Goldsboro, Tyler Zeman, and Mitch Davis, now signing off.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.